Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Pray you had a delightful weekend full of God, family, and country, and the protection of life, liberty, and property the American way. This is the broadcast for November the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That's our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances put in place by the founders, brilliant, one of the great solutions to restore the republic. You see, we reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap of Friday's show first. More women accuse Roy Moore of sexual impropriety, but Roy Moore responds in an open letter to Sean Hannity. You see, Sean tried to lay down the gauntlet for Roy Moore. Today, you better explain everything within 24 hours, as if Sean has some kind of authority from on high. Who does he think he is in the media, huh? Anyway, he was forced to back off because the judge, cool as a cucumber, wrote back and said, "My friend, you're clueless." All right, he didn't exactly say that. He wrote back and basically said, "Look, you know what? This one girl claims that she has a signed yearbook. The problem is the signature's forged. I demand you release it to a third party so that experts can confirm it to be a forgery. Furthermore, this lady says she's had no contact with me since this, quote, sexual event took place. The problem is she's not telling the truth. Why? Because in 1999, I was the judge in her divorce case. Furthermore, the signature for the judge in the divorce case matches more of the yearbook than Roy's signature does. In other words, an assistant may have signed the divorce, and, well, they may have stolen that to fake the yearbook signature. But now Gloria, this so-called, you know, sexual predator defense attorney defending the victims, will not turn over the yearbook. So bottom line is, we're catching them lying. We're also finding weird things out. How old was Nancy Wells when she had her daughter Lee Korfman, for example? She was about 17 or 18. So they're making this big to-do about these girls that are between 16 and, you know, whatever, 20 years old. But the problem is, the mother of one of the girls complaining was only 17 or 18 when she had the girl in question. Was she married or did she have a baby out of wedlock? See, how come we're not digging into these details? When was the yearbook even printed? When was it signed? When did this so-called situation happen? For example, they debate it now, and, well, the attorney doesn't even know if this Mills lady or whatever else signed the yearbook. Supposedly the yearbook was put on a counter. Supposedly he signed it. She was super thrilled, but there's no real evidence that she saw him even sign it. Furthermore, they say it was signed right before Christmas. Who has a school yearbook hanging out like at Christmas time? Don't you get the yearbook at the end of the year, like in June? And if she got a yearbook in June, why does she have it hanging around at work at Christmas? All I'm telling you is weird stuff. Just doesn't even make any sense with this thing. But everybody's running around saying that Judge Roy Moore needs to explain himself. What about these girls making allegations? Most of the girls say, well, he didn't even really kiss me. It was really, kind of weird that he liked younger girls. But it's common for men to like younger girls. You get yourself established and then you look for a young wife. This is commonly done. Now, the 14-year-old one's a question. But again, this was a drug abuser, alcoholic girl that was really melting down in her life, tried to even commit suicide. There's a conflict. Her mother says she did not have a phone in her bedroom, but the girl says, oh, yeah, she talked to Roy Moore on her phone in her bedroom. So there's credibility questions everywhere with this stuff. Bottom line is the Alabama GOP standing with Roy Moore. The inside Republicans, the swamp critters or monsters, if you will, all attacking Roy Moore. In fact, Rush Limbaugh and others are now saying it's a huge, evil agenda by the Republicans to get rid of Roy Moore, led by Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan. It's really an attack on Steve Bannon. Steve said he was going to take out Mitch McConnell, and now Mitch McConnell fires back and tries to take out Steve Bannon and Roy Moore all at once. What about innocent until proven guilty in America, ladies and gentlemen? Where's that standard, huh? Donald Trump, strangely silent. What a wimp. He lets a couple of his aides speak out, saying, well, if Donald wanted to defend Roy Moore, he would, but he thinks the victims are credible, and so he won't. He's remaining silent. He could be campaigning for Roy Moore, but he won't as well. Then Ivanka even jumping in. What's that? The daughter? Basically saying that the victims should be believed. I don't think that you should disbelieve the victims. What I think you should do is simply say, look, these are serious, serious, serious allegations. Now we're going to put them through the scrutiny of reality. And you could say, well, a man is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law, Sam, but not in society. That's right. I agree with that. But right now you have nothing but a bunch of convoluted, conflicting stories that don't make any sense. Oh, Sam, no, the victims are very credible. There's more of them. Oh, yeah? Like the girl saying she had a phone in her room and her mom said no, she didn't. Like all these girls, none of them coming to the press, but the press coming to them. Like Gorfman's mother saying, hey, my daughter wouldn't even have come forward unless the press kind of badgered her to do so. Nancy Wells speaking out quite boldly. What gives of that? The only one doing opposition research to find out the truth here, as far as I can tell, is Breitbart and Liberty Roundtable and a couple of others. Shame on the Donald. All right, that was hour one, hour two. We had Pete Sepp, president of National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org, with us. And we talked about, in a recent op-ed piece, Pete Sepp summarized the moment perfectly. He says this tax reform issue is not about chasing unicorns. It's instead about seizing the bull by the horns. We need to get real tax cuts in line. Anyway, we talked about that. We also talked about this incredible conference that was to get rid of the Article 5 convention, or a con at the Free Enterprise Center. That was Thursday. Who should go? All concerned Americans. Well, anyway, we'll have an update on that coming up from Lowell Nelson in mere seconds. He was there. By the way, the big list of 149 Donald Trump accomplishments, we got to give Donald some credit for that. And we should express gratitude for all the good that he's done. The mainstream press won't tell you about it. And Donald's far from perfect, but he has done quite a bit of good that we need to be aware of and give credit for. All right, that's a recap of Thursday's broadcast. I was out on Friday, so there you have that. Live Monday, news the networks refused to use today, starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, back with us. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen. Good to be with you.
Any comments on Roy Moore before we move along?
I don't think it's... The big news that I saw over the weekend, Sam, was that there's a number of women who are coming forward to stand with Roy Moore and saying that he was a gentleman in all the relationships. These were former, you know, dates and girlfriends who associated with Roy before his marriage, who have now stepped forward and plainly testified, I mean, in the court of public opinion, that he was a gentleman, that they did have a relationship with him, and he was every bit an entirely appropriate relationship, and that he was not the scoundrel that some of these other women are trying to make him out to be. So I thought that was very encouraging that, you know, people
Amen.
Were standing with him and around him and helping.
The question is, when does this become election tampering, when you literally throw these, you know, Molotov cocktail bombshells in front of somebody where the allegations are completely false? Later, I'm sure we're going to have the truth and know that most of them will be discredited and false, but it'll be kind of too late. This has been done to several people running for office that I personally know of.
That's right, Sam. The good news, I think, is that people, our fellow citizens, are becoming increasingly aware that this is a tactic commonly used by those who want to cause the other guy to lose, basically. And so I think we're becoming increasingly aware of these things, and I think less and less it's having an impact on elections. But yeah, I agree, it does have an impact. I'm just happy to say that it's having a decreasingly decreasing impact on elections going, at least in the last.
And the people closest to Roy Moore, the Republicans in Alabama, are standing strong for Roy Moore. The polls say he's still quite a bit ahead, regardless of the mainstream press. So it's really an epic battle, a war on multiple fronts. We'll talk about that, and then we'll talk about the real wars that have been going on for our whole lifetimes in America. They're all unconstitutional, folks. Lowell Nelson in seconds on your radio.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
You know, this is warfare on all fronts, whether we're talking about a culture war, Alex Jones always mentions an info war, whether we're talking about a morality war, a culture war, physical war, real war, financial wars, whatever. It's amazing. You got an epic battle going on between Roy Moore and those who want to stand for morality. Even if Roy Moore has made those mistakes, which I don't believe they're true. I don't believe they're credible. But even if they were, does somebody have the chance to repent and to change? Does somebody have the chance to, live something down? Because at some point you'd say, who can ever run for office? If you're going to look into everybody's misdeeds, everybody's mistakes, everybody's in life, you can magnify a mistake and make it huge. And the proof in the pudding is, one girl they claim was 14, that's not credible at all. But then all the other girls just said, he was a gentleman. He kissed me. We dated. No big deal. It's just kind of weird that he dated younger girls. But other than that, that's what most of the cases are. So you can make a mountain out of a molehill with these cases. Or you can minimize and say, I know these girls are accusing Bill Clinton of hostile, violent rape. But they're all bimbo eruptions. I'm just saying. And the mainstream press literally involved in the info wars, determining what information we get, how we deal with it, how it goes over, right? You even got this Al Franken guy who, he admitted to it blatantly, but now he's not resigning. He's all good. They're even saying, well, Bill should have resigned. Bill should have been impeached and removed from office. All these things should have happened to Bill Clinton. But hey, let's celebrate the 25th year anniversary of his, presidential library. So, yeah, we realize. So the double standard's on display, but it's all about war. Whether it's the culture war or real war. And the problem is they lie to us in the media, even when it comes to the real cost of physical war. It's three times more than the government admits, lol.
Well, that's right, Sam. Before jumping into the real war, though, I also noted over the weekend that they are not successful in defaming Roy Moore. He's still leading in the polls, and so they began discussing the possibility of expelling him from the Senate if and when he gets elected. And so that's how desperate they are. And so this one article I was reading was talking about the judicial history of when the Senate expels people, expels its own members. You know, the Constitution gives the Senate the authority to expel its own, they didn't use the word expel, but to discipline their own members. But typically that happens after an election occurs. Now, in this case, in Alabama, you have the voters, you have the electorate. They are hearing all of the allegations. They're hearing the defense. And assuming that he wins the election, they will have elected him knowing these allegations against him but not believing them. And therefore, the Senate really doesn't have an ethical leg to stand on if they were to take any disciplinary action.
Especially when they don't remove their own senators for, in Roy Moore, it's just allegations. Without
right.
evidence and inconsistent allegations at that, with this Al Franken guy or whatever else, it's positive proof he's admitted to it. They're going to keep him. They're not going to expel him.
Right. The hypocrisy is a glaring hypocrisy. It's a double standard. You look at all of the senators in office and all of the indiscretions and all of the crimes they have committed. I mean, it's mountainous compared to, the allegation, even the mere allegation, against Roy Moore. So anyway, I just thought that was
it is a state issue in Alabama. It's a state matter, not a United States matter or a federal matter anyway. And so they're completely out of line. But again, this is where, I don't see anybody really standing up for Roy Moore except for one guy, Rand Paul.
Yeah. And
even Mike Lee has betrayed and capitulated and expects Roy Moore to, whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty, whatever happened to allegations being brought forth in a meaningful way to determine credibility first. Mike Lee's a lawyer and a senator. He should know better, lol.
And that's the impact. And by the way, Orrin Hatch was quoted over the weekend when asked about Roy Moore's situation. He actually made the comment, I don't want to get into that, because why would he make that comment after earlier in the week or last week having, tried to beat him down, pile on basically on the bandwagon to beat down Roy Moore. Both Mike Lee and Orrin Hatch did that. But I just noticed for the weekend that they're basically backing off and saying no comment. Now, why is that? Well, I believe it's because we citizens are melting the phone lines to their offices, telling them to back off, right? I mean, that's what we need to do more of.
Or they know he's innocent and they don't have the integrity to defend him, but yet they also don't want to pile on, because the more we find out, the less credible these reality checks become. Then they don't want to get caught with their hand in the cookie jar. So what they want to do is they want to down Roy Moore and do their best to ensure that he doesn't get elected. But when push comes to shove and the reality check comes, they don't want to be the ones that were against him. So they're going to be like, we at first kind of said we were concerned about it, but then we kind of backed off and we thought it was a state issue, and they kind of go like that. The reality is they don't want to take accountability for their actions.
So knowing this is an action-oriented radio program, I encourage all of our listeners to call their senators and tell them to back off. I mean, this is simply allegations of sexual misconduct, 40 years ago? And the allegations are being made by people of questionable character.
But not only to back off, though, but to stand up and defend the principles that matter. Look, the principle is this. Roy Moore is innocent until proven guilty. And if there are allegations, we need to not double down in defense of Roy Moore that we 1,000% believe him. Or that we don't believe him. We need to simply say, let the facts stand on their own. But until they have enough credibility, or until Roy Moore admits it or something else, until we have evidence or proof to the, we're not going to go down this road.
Yeah, it's incredible to me. I think of Kennedy, right? The Kennedy senator who was driving with a woman, and they went off into the river, and he swam to safety or something and just left her to die. I mean, that's stories like that really curdle the blood And this story about Roy Moore just doesn't even register on the same scale, Sam.
It does if you are the media and you make the rules and you're going to make a mountain out of a molehill in one case and then minimize other cases, then it, you know, it has wings. And that's the problem that I have here. And that's why senators, especially who have law degrees like, you know, Mike Lee, should say, wait a minute. Look, I'm not going to defend Roy Moore because I don't know if it's true or not. And that's the way Sam Bushman is. I don't know if it's true or not. However, I know that these allegations are allegations. And right now they don't rise to the level of credibility. Sean Hannity tried to go against Roy Moore, and then Sean Hannity got shut down in about 5 seconds by the good judge. So all I'm telling you is you don't got to defend Roy Moore. What you got to do is you got to defend the system that we have in America, and you've got to say, we'll leave this open for another day, but I'm not going to go against Roy Moore on what we have yet. I will not do it because you're not defending Roy Moore. See, somebody might say, well, if we ever get the truth and it's true, Sam, you'll get egg on your face. No, I won't. I'm saying we need to not rush to judgment, and I'm saying that we cannot barbecue someone in the court of public opinion based on allegations. I can hold to that, whether he's guilty or not, all day long. And I should. And so should attorneys like Mike Lee, who know better. Now, what if all of a sudden we say Mike Lee is guilty of these kind of things? Should it stick? See, that's the problem with this line of thinking that we go down, Lowell.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Sam. As well put, we defend the system, we uphold the system, and let the chips fall where they may. That is absolutely the right approach. And so you're exactly right. I mean, if you were to scan the internet right now for, you know, the Roy Moore story or the Roy Moore issue or whatever, you're going to get 10, 20, 30 hits of all these mainstream rags questioning his character and supporting allegations and just saying he should drop out of the race and blah, blah, blah. And when in reality, you've got just a very few people like you on here on Liberty Roundtable and perhaps others who are actually digging in, examining the lack of evidence, the paucity of evidence. I like that word, paucity. And then saying, look, there's nothing here yet. We need to say that a person is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Otherwise, he's free to, you know, campaign and free to be elected and free to represent the people of Alabama, Sam.
And by the way, I have written an official endorsement of Roy Moore, and I stand by that. If I find out that he's guilty, I will say that I was wrong. But I'm not going to go down this road because we changed the game in America to where any allegations can stick until proven otherwise. Well, that's not what happens to the Democrats. Right? That's not what happens in these big... And so they say things are changing, Sam. This double standard is going away. Women are finally able to speak up, and that's a good thing. Well, I agree. Anybody who is wrongfully pursued, if you will, or you know, forced to engage in certain whatever, it's wrong, it's evil. I'm never going to defend it. But I'm also going to say, you know, where's the line of knowing when somebody is guilty or not? Well, we set that line a long time ago in America, ladies and gentlemen, and it was different from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the witch trials are going to start again, folks.
Yeah, it's just incredible that these allegations weren't made 40 years ago, right, or 30 years ago, or 20 years ago. It happened to be made on the eve of his election.
Liberty Roundtable live in seconds. We need to talk about real war, too.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, I'm going to pull a Kurt Crosby for a second. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, Lowell Nelson on your radio. You know, Kurt always refers to movies to kind of highlight points. And I think, you know, if we're not careful, we're going to start the witch trials once again. You know, the people are finicky. And it's the information that they get or they don't get. And when they don't have any information, they get very suspicious. They start to tell themselves stories, right? And in the case where they get misinformation, it's even worse. And so I submit to you, the irresponsible media is fueling, in my opinion, the equivalent of kind of witch trials or witch hunts going on here. But I'm going to point to a movie called Rigoletto. Because in the movie Rigoletto, the strange man moves in. Everybody thinks he's a creeper. Everybody thinks he's crazy. Everybody thinks he's evil. Then all of a sudden, people start losing their houses and things like that, and losing their jobs. And pretty soon, they think this guy is doing it. He's just evil. The second he moved into town, all these things start happening. Eventually, they basically beat this guy up and hurt him really bad and take all of his stuff. And they find out that he was doing nothing but good for people. He had helped, you know, pay for a surgery to heal someone's leg, and he did all of his acts of kindness in secret. But the people were completely deceived and were really out to get him until they found out the truth, and oh, how they were wrong. And I submit to you that it's kind of like that in America today, with the media fueling, in my opinion, this dishonest issues where thou shalt not bear false witness. And I submit to you that without evidence, even Mike Lee and Donald Trump, by their silence, are really bearing false witness by silence. And I seriously say, shame on you, gentlemen. I'm not saying you got to defend Roy Moore. I'm saying you got to defend the system and defend honor and integrity until we have more information. You need to wait, and you need to not pile on because your situation, whether you're in the media or your huge popularity as a elected public official, requires humility and restraint, requires defense of the system, defense of the proper way to go about these kinds of allegations. Anyway, I digress. All right, the real war, the cost of war is 3 times more than the government Pentagon admits, ladies and gentlemen. Believe it or not, a new study by Brown University, it's called the Watson Institute that did the study. Since 9/11, it's $5.6 trillion on the endless global wars, lol.
And that's just the monetary cost, Sam. We'll talk about some of the social costs in a moment, but people normally, well, the government reports that the war has cost $1.5 trillion. Now, that is a huge amount of money, obviously. But you think of $1 million. I mean, people grow up as child, from childhood, you know, hoping that they can be millionaires, right? Well, you know, a billion is 1,000 million, right? And so a billion is 1,000 times more than a million, which is way out of reach of most people, right? Growing up, we think if we could only be a millionaire, then life would be good. Well, a trillion is 1,000 of billions. And so you got a million million, then you've got a trillion. So, I mean, it's an astronomically huge number, Sam. But the government reports $1.5 trillion was spent on the war since 9/11, basically. And yet Brown University's Watson Institute, they're coming out with their study, and they're adding in, you know, things which the government leaves out, you know, such as the cost of, the support personnel and other things. And so they're estimating it's $5.6 trillion, more than three times what the government estimates is the cost. And so it's just very, deceptive and disingenuous of the government to underreport what they spent on the war. The cost of interest to pay for these expenditures, by the way, will amount to several trillion dollars because the government has gone into debt, either borrowing money to pay for these wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and the Middle East. And that's the point that U.S. Representative John Duncan made. Now, John, Representative Duncan, to his credit, has remained firmly opposed to our continued engagement in the Middle East.
So has Rand Paul and Ron Paul when he was in office as well.
Exactly right, as has Thomas Massie and Justin Amash and several others, which is admirable. I mean, it's a position, it's a lonely position back there right now because the mainstream is so in favor of the wars. But John Duncan is here. He said, we're long past the time. We should have gotten out of Afghanistan. He said, I cannot understand how any true fiscal conservative can be in favor of dragging this war on forever. And it's not like he just came up with a statement recently. He said the very similar thing 8 years ago, right? So that would be about 2008, 2009. He said, conservatives who oppose big government and huge deficit spending at home should not support it in foreign countries just because it is being done by our biggest bureaucracy, the Defense Department. We have now spent $1.5 trillion that we did not have, that we had to borrow in Iraq and Afghanistan, and that was 8 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. And so you look at the cost of this $5.6 trillion, it amounts to what, about $23,000 a piece, Sam. That's $23,000 that you owe, $23,000 that Kurt owes, $23,000 that I owe. You know, just think if the government sent every adult in the United States a bill for $23,000 due and payable upon receipt, do you think we'd have maybe a little bit different attitude about this continued involvement and continued engagement in the Middle East, Sam?
Well, the problem is, as far as I can tell, it'll only get worse because we're not spending less money. We're spending more money. We're not engaging less. We're bringing us to the brink every step of the way. Donald Trump now literally volleying with North Korea in this epic battle. And all I'm telling you is we've got just recently some military man over in Japan, literally, you know, an alcohol-fueled joyride turns bad. You know, we're literally creating this blowback, this hatred, as we pretend we're the homogenous nation. We've got to stop this, but it seems like we're doing more of it every day, Lowell.
Yes, unfortunately, that's true. There is one piece of silver lining in that, by the way, that, you know, the people back in Washington, D.C. are afraid that the Trump is, has a finger on a nuclear bomb button, and they don't want him to push it. And so they're saying, hey, we can't allow the president to make a unilateral decision on this. You know, if we're going to go to war, we need to make a unified decision about it. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, the founders, the framers of the Constitution had something to say about that. They said,
well, the way you do it is you put it back in the hands of Congress where the founders intended it based on the separation of powers. And
exactly.
The problem is we're not doing that. We let the president look. If it goes well, they all want to take credit. If it goes bad, they want to hang the president out to dry with it. That's how they've been playing fast and loose with their proper role and their obligations as congressional representatives.
Exactly right, Sam. They're have been, what, 19 different engagements, I mean, major engagements since the authorization and use of military force in 2001. You know, this idea that the Afghanistan, you know, when we went, when the United States, you know, gave to the president authority to make a reprisal against, you know, in Afghanistan, it's called the AUMF or something like that. It's the, get it right here, AUMF, basically the authorization for use of military force passed in 2001, has been abused by three presidents, Sam, since then to justify more than three dozen military interventions in some 20 nations.
And to the tune of $5.6 trillion, and we're now allowing the mentally ill to be qualified to go into these wars. What happens when they come back?
Boy, that is a great question, Sam. And now we're starting to touch on the social costs of these wars. And, you know, Ron Paul talked about this during his presidential campaigns, and other people are beginning to recognize that there's the tremendous social costs associated with these wars. So let's just point out a few of them. The number of suicides among veterans, Sam, is higher than ever before. I think it's up to like 22 a day or something like that. I mean, it's huge. The incidence of divorce among couples when one partner is deployed to a theater of war is higher than ever before, Sam. The destruction of our liberty is one of the biggest costs of these wars in terms of surveillance, the loss of privacy, and so forth. And like you just mentioned a moment ago, the entrance standards, the entrance requirements into the military are being lowered to the point where even the mentally unstable are now qualified to join the military service. So according to a recent Gallup poll, Sam, more people now are discussing the merits of a draft, which is the logical extension of the selective service, as you know.
And women to be part of that draft, just put the girls in the mix, right?
That's right. To his credit, Congressman Ron Paul, when he was in Congress, nearly every cycle of Congress, he introduced a bill to eliminate the selective service. I mean, it's not like the government doesn't know you're alive. I mean, if you're 18 and you fail to register with the selective service, they send you a letter and say, "Hey, buddy, you forgot to register for the selective service." So they know you're alive. So what's the point of registering, right?
Well, that's where they can keep their thumb on the people and keep us in fear of the government. That's the, you know, issue there. Just think of all the good we could do, ladies and gentlemen. Think of the good we could do with the trillions of dollars that have been spent on the war. Bombing, maiming folks, destruction everywhere. Just think of the good we could do if we turn that to peaceful means.
When a beer commercial, everyone's happy and they're jumping around in there or whatever.
The thing is they not only have appealing activities, they have appealing people out there too. You know, you see beer commercials and it's done with natural water and it's cold brewed or heat pasteurized and all that kind of stuff. They make it sound more like a health food almost, but they never show the hangovers or alcoholism or anything like that.
And then in reality, you're happy and then you're vomiting in the bathroom and then you're waking up sick the next morning with a really bad headache.
Any person that says that beer is merely for recreational use is stupid because it's a form of alcohol.
They just want your money. It's the people that sell the product that are getting the most out of it, not the people that use it.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're all sell our beer and it doesn't matter what it takes, just sell it.
No, they're not honest messages. They don't show the flip side of it, the results of alcohol.
A public service message from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32. And improving vigor score. You say, "Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh?" My response is, you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, we can do so much good with the money. Instead of putting it towards these unconstitutional wars, that's a theme we'll continue to talk about as we escalate towards war. Sadly, in America, folks. All right, let's switch to, I want to talk about this convention you went to, Lowell, and I know I'm kind of skipping around a little bit, but I don't want to forget this. Stand strong for the Constitution, dangers of an Article 5 convention upon us. There was an event last Thursday, a big coalition in Utah. A campaign for liberty.org was part of it. LibertyRoundtable.com, Liberty News Radio, part of it as well. And really an educational forum, wasn't it?
It was an awesome event, Sam, and I'm sorry that that more people weren't able to attend. There was it was in the Free Enterprise Center there on the campus of Salt Lake Community College in Sandy, Utah. Stand Strong for the Constitution basically put that on, like you said, as a coalition of individuals who are determined to stop an Article 5 convention from happening. And so this event was sponsored to explicate the dangers of an Article 5 convention. It was free for those who attended, and we even had some of the founders there, John Adams and other founders, and I personally witnessed the printing of a handbill using an old-time printing press, Sam. It was really awesome. They had it was the wooden thing you see in pictures of old-time printing presses, where they actually press they ink the foil, and then they fold a piece of paper down on top of it, and then they press that piece of paper down onto the inked foil, and then they lift that, they screw that back up, and they open up the press, and there's that piece of paper, that handbill that was printed, and then they hang up to dry, or they put a piece of paper in between to let it dry, and so it was really authentic. I mean, it was way cool. Now that was just before getting into the thing, and of course the main event was to listen to two guest speakers. Janine Hansen was one, and our friend Dr. Scott Bradley was one. Janine, she described the miraculous event in the Nevada legislature from last year. I have no idea this happened, Sam. I don't know how I missed it, but in the Nevada legislature last year, they unanimously voted to rescind any and all applications for an Article 5 convention that Nevada had ever put forth. That passed unanimously. When's the last time, a legislature unanimously agreed to something like that?
And that just shows what happens when the people get involved, Lowell.
Wow. You're exactly right, Sam. Janine's been in this fight for decades, just like you and me and Scott Bradley and others, and I would love to see that same miracle occur here in the state of Utah. And Scott Bradley was there with a great PowerPoint presentation with quotes from notable current-day figures as well as notable framers of the Constitution. And he just went right down the line illustrating the dangers of a constitutional convention. One of the points he made, Sam, was that this convention has many, many names. Some people call it a convention of states. Some people call it a conference of states, and so forth, but all of these things really do mean a constitutional convention, because when you look at the definition of such a convention, it is defined as, quote, a duly constituted assembly of delegates or representatives of the people of a state or nation for the purpose of framing, revising, or amending its constitution, end of quote. So you might have people talking to you about, their convention of states, and there will probably be a bill in the Utah legislature this year, and probably in many, many other states of the Union, because this Convention of States movement is a nationwide movement, and they want to get, 34 states to sign on to their bandwagon, and I believe the number sits at 28 at the present moment. And so, and Utah is one of those 28 states, and we would do well to rescind our application to Congress for an Article 5 convention, because what do we risk? Well, we risk the loss of the Constitution of the United States. Well, people will say, well, we're not going to lose the Constitution. I mean, it's going to take 38 states or would have to agree on any particular amendment that was proposed. Well, you know, what happened last time we had a constitutional convention? We've only had one in our country's history, right? And that was the one in Philadelphia in May of 1787, the one and only constitutional convention in our history. And they were sent there, delegates from each state were sent to that convention for the sole and express purpose of revising the Articles of Confederation, thereby rendering the federal constitution adequate to the exigencies of government and the preservation of the Union. End of quote. Okay, so their sole responsibility, Sam, in going to Philadelphia was simply to amend and revise the Articles of Confederation. Well, what happened? Well, as you and I both know, and thankfully so, those delegates, when they gathered, they recognized that they had the authority, legal authority, to set the Articles aside and create an entirely new constitution, which is exactly what they did, and thankfully so. But that's a precedent, Sam. And that could be used as a precedent for any modern-day convention as well. So we could get together, have this convention of states, and people, the delegates get sent there, and then lo and behold, they recognize in themselves the authority to set aside the U.S. Constitution, draft an entirely new one, and enact an entirely new ratification procedure. Maybe they say it just takes a simple majority of states to ratify the new constitution. That's a possibility because there is precedent. The only one and only time in our country's history that we set forth onto a constitutional convention path, they set aside the current constitution, which in this case was the Articles of Confederation, and they put a new constitution in its place.
Now, one of the interesting things, Scott Bradley has made this point many times. Ron Paul makes this point in his columns. We've made this point on the radio over and over and over and well as well, and it's worth repeating, which is this. What is the problem we're trying to solve? Because, folks, the U.S. Constitution is not the problem, and an Article 5 convention is not the solution. The problem is we're not obeying the checks and balances of the Constitution. We're not obeying the proper role of limited government based on the delegated powers provided in the supreme law of the land. We're not separating power. We're not letting the people remain in charge. We're literally running it by fiat, and then we wonder why it's not working, and then we blame it on. It's kind of like if your marriage is gone south. You kind of say, oh, man, throw out marriage. That'll help it. No, it won't. Marriage is the solution. Returning to the principles that make marriages great is the answer. And throwing out marriage to solve marital problems isn't the solution. Same is true with the supreme law of the land. We need to follow it if we want it to work, folks. And it has been the document that has created the freest country for the longest time in any documented society in history that we can point to, bar none. So even if we might say that there's problems in America, which we can agree on that, the question is, what is the solution? And I submit to you that pure application of the principles that made America great, namely the supreme law of the land, the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, biblical principles, godly principles, turning to God rather than government, the limited proper role of government based on the consent of the governed, those are the principles that we need to return to, Lowell.
I want to underscore exactly what you said, Sam. It's not that the Constitution is defective. It is that the Constitution is not being followed. Every major problem we face as a nation today, Sam, comes from our failure to adhere to the Constitution, and therefore every major problem we face as a nation today can be solved, can be remedied by a return to that Constitution. So, you know, what are the problems? For example, I just quickly think of a few of them. The monetary system. We have a fiat monetary system. It's a huge problem for our country because our government just, you know, creates money out of thin air, and it's a fiat monetary system. And by doing so, they inflict a hidden tax on the people, and then they get involved in these endless wars and these and bottomless pits of social welfare programs. And so, you know, what's the remedy? Well, the remedy is in the Constitution. The 17 most important words in the Constitution: no state shall make anything but silver and gold a tender in payment of debts. Right? That was the monetary system enacted in the Bill of 1792 when Congress rightfully and authoritatively passed the Coinage Act. That should have been our monetary system, and we have come so far away from that that we have debauched our monetary system and now are suffering under a fiat monetary system.
And if we'd return to the constitutional gold and silver, honest weights and measures as the founders intended, we wouldn't have these unconstitutional war. We wouldn't have three times the cost of war, $5.6 trillion. We wouldn't have this university study because we'd simply be chaining them down with the Constitution. That's what we need to get done. And until we do, you know what? You're not going to find answers.
I love to think of what would happen if our government was is the constitutional size of our central government. I would think it would be not even 1,000th of what it of its current size. I think of the number of employees of the federal government when George Washington was serving as our president, and it was such a small fraction of the overall population of our country that it just wasn't even noticeable. I mean, what a wonderful blessing it would be to live in our country again if our national government was that size. I mean, it was almost unnoticeable. That would be, boy, liberty would be busting out all over the place, Sam. We wouldn't have the national government poking their nose in the healthcare system of every state and of the education of all of our children, and they wouldn't have their hands in our pockets inflicting the income tax on us. We wouldn't be worldwide military. It would just we'd be taking care of our own problems in our own country. It would be an awesome place to live again. We got to get back to that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the solutions are pure application of the principles that made America great, namely the Ten Commandments and namely the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. I submit it ought to be the political religion of our nation. That, my fellow Americans, is the answer. Good, honest, moral people who govern themselves is key. And without those moral standards, you know what? We're in trouble, and we'll never make America great again until we make America moral again. It starts with honest money, the rejection of unconstitutional invasive war, and the embracing of the principles following the Prince of Peace. Lowell, thank you, sir.
You're welcome, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
We declare this nation shall endure. Get involved and donate today at LibertyRoundtable.com.